I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello and welcome, everyone. How are you? I hope everyone's well. Strange times at the minute. But as usual, we will get together and we will rise above and get ourselves through these strange and difficult times. Before we begin, I need to do some admin, as I always need to do. I'd like to say thank you to all of our patrons, wonderful people like Emma Walter. Welcome, Emma Walter. We'd like you to become a patron so that you can help us keep giving you one of the greatest podcasts in the land. If you join them, you will get over 50 archive interviews. You'll get early access to our filmed interviews, plus a load more stuff that's going to be coming your way very soon. So go to patreon.com/membranepodcast or click the Linktree link in the podcast description and in all of my social media bios. So if you go on my Instagram, I am Rich Wilson, or on Twitter, I am Rich Wilson, you'll see in the bios, it will say Linktree. If you click that, that will take you to everything that we do. So the Patreon page, our radio show on Islington Radio, it takes you to my website. So it takes you to all those things. So do that for us. And like we say, all the money that we get just goes back into the podcast. We're not making money from this. So even if it was a quid each from everyone, that would really help us out. So go to the Patreon, go to patreon.com/membranepodcast, and that would be amazing. Thank you so much. So I hope you lot are all right. I hope you're well. It's been a strange old summer. You know, I was up in the Edinburgh Festival and slogging me guts out up there. And I'm back now, getting back into the swing of it. Having a good time with my new partner, Kate. She's amazing. Nice time. I want to give a shout out to Fee. I met Fee at a party. Kate's mate James, his 40th. And I met Fee, and we had a bit of a chat. And so, Fee, if you're listening to this, nice one. I really appreciate that, you coming up and saying hello. It was really nice to meet you. And carry on being super bloody cool. With that in mind, now we're going to get straight into it with our guest this week. Now, it's Richard Hardesty. Richard Hardesty is a friend of my partner, Kate's friend. And we're in Edinburgh, and they were saying, you've got to go and see this show. Silly Boy at the Pleasance. And I was like, yeah, I'll be up for that. Not really knowing what to expect. I'd seen the picture, I'd seen the poster, and I was like, yeah, that looks interesting. And then when I saw the show, and one of the best shows I've ever seen, to the point when I came out, I was like, I'm going to cry. But it wasn't even a sad show. It's just a very evocative, emotional show. I just was like, oh my God, this is one of the best things I've ever seen. To the point, I ended up seeing it another two times after that. I just felt compelled to go back and watch it and be in the company of this man, Richard Hardesty, a phenomenal human being. And then we got chatting. I was like, well, I'd love you to come on the podcast. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to. So we were like, yeah, let's do it. So, you know, as these things always do. I know sometimes I'm tremendously unorganised. I go, yeah, let's get you on. And then other things happen and then we don't get round to it. But I was determined to get Richard on because I really wanted to have a proper chat with him. And so that's what happened. So do you know what? Let's get on with it. I will say this. His show is on at the Soho Theatre, so you do get a chance to see it. It's not just in Edinburgh. It's Thursday the 29th of September till Saturday the 1st of October this year, 2022. So at 8:45, get tickets now. It's selling out. It's already sold out one night. So I would get a wriggle on if you want to get yourself some tickets. I promise you, one of the best shows you've seen. I guarantee once you've seen this show, you'll message me and go, nice one. I really needed that. It's a brilliant show about a man struggles with his own mental health. It's an excellent show. So with that in mind, let's get him on. So coming up in a minute is Richard Hardesty.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
This isn't my house, by the way, just in case people think, wow, who's this snazzy guy with like TVs on the wall and stuff? This
isn't yeah. Is no. your agent's place? Is it?
Yeah. I quite like coming here just because I'm an idiot. I'm a nobody. Like you might bump into like you know Rowan Atkinson or Vic and Bob. It's quite. Look at this, just laying around.
Just laying around. I mean, you say that you're a nobody, but you get I'm a nobody, but you're in your agent's with Rowan Atkinson and
that's mad to me because I'm like I've done this my whole life. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how this has happened. Well, I do know how it's happened. It's through sheer dogged will. But like, I feel like wherever I go, I feel like I'm going to get found out here soon. I don't belong here. I'm not sure about this. Although I feel like everyone's going, what the hell's he doing here? Maniac snuck in. Who's he? Did you bring him? No. Why is his voice so high? Anyway,
I think people. There's this weird thing that people think you have to, there's a certain way of living your life in order to achieve whatever. There's like, and if you don't do it in that certain way, people, like if you've, because a lot of luck is involved in this industry.
Oh, so,
if and that's it. It's all about who you know, not necessarily what you know, conversations that you have, connections that you've made. And so if you've got to a point where you're doing what you're doing, it doesn't matter how you got there. It's like, you got there. So,
you got there, yeah. I mean, I feel like the whole world is a down to luck. When you really break it down to what makes you, you didn't choose where you were born, you don't choose the genes you have, no. You don't choose the experience you go through. So everything, when you really break it down, is luck. You didn't choose your parents. Like, so it's weird because a lot of people say, like, it is strange that, like, I love thinking about this stuff like this. How am I going to say this? Basically, if you were to, like, get a load of money given to you by rich parents, which allowed you to go to a really good college, say, then people would maybe feel like, well, that's not really fair. You didn't really do much to deserve that, did you? But it's weird because the same thing is said for intellect and IQ. Like, you didn't do anything to deserve your IQ. Some people are cleverer than others, and they don't choose that. And it's weird how that, I feel like that upsets us less. It feels like, no, he tried. It's like, yeah, but you don't choose how clever you are. Unfortunately, in this world, if you're very clever, you'll be rewarded for that. And if you're not, you're going to hand up with a not as good life. And it's just, that is more luck. We don't like to think that, because we like to go, no, I did this because I'm a bloody hard worker. It's like, well, you don't really choose the drive that you have either. Some people have a lot of drive, and some people don't have it. And you need to realise how lucky you are for everything that you have. It's just, it's all luck. Like, yeah, man, that's why it seems silly to me to ever get arrogant about anything. Because, like, you have no idea about how lucky you are to have got where you are.
Exactly. You can, I mean, the fact that you exist in the first place, this comes up quite a bit on here. The fact that you exist in the first place is pure luck. Like there's a there's millions of sperm and you just happened that the egg of the sperm created you. And now you're here.
Think of how shit the other ones must have been. That's mad, isn't it? Like, you were the best one, Rich. You were the most together little sperm just getting in there. It's my voice again. Guys, Christ! Just getting in
there. That's why I find it difficult to push myself now, because I did it all back then.
Yeah, you know? I thought myself. It's a good point when you come out. No wonder we're crying when we finally come out. We're like, oh my God, I'm knackered. You have all this. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's exhausting
coming into life. Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where the trauma really started. All this sort of like just there.
Yeah.
Well, there's what we went through. We've got a massive dick. That's going to give anyone trauma. Shot out of that.
But that's it. I think you're right. I think it's been talked about where right from the beginning, everything is just drama and chaos and you're just fired out of your dad's nuts.
Yeah.
Into your mother. And then you gotta find the egg, and then you gotta fuck it, and then it's gotta gestate and create, and then you've got your mum who's having to lug you around, and she's probably under a lot of stress as well.
Yeah, stressful.
She is stressful. She knows what's coming. You know that when she has to give birth, and the dad's just like, "Oh my God, I don't know what to do, and I feel like I should do more, but I can't." And
oh no, I'm gonna have to show emotions to this kid. I'm not really good with emotions. Oh God, and then it's. And then when you go through all that, you're born, and then you got to deal with life. So, oh my God.
Yeah. And then you come out and go, thank fuck, that's over. And then you go, oh, by the way, life is a piece of shit, really hard. No, I've just been through that.
This is the beginning.
Carnage.
This is the beginning. It's like, that's like basically going on the gladiators thing, getting on the travelator and then going, right, now's the start of the run. You're kidding me? What was the travelator? What about those rings? Oh God.
Yeah. Like Takeshi's Castle at the beginning, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's what being born is, Takeshi's Castle. That's right.
Yeah, and then you got life. So no wonder. And this is why I think it's great that we're all talking about mental health now, or trying to look after our mental health. Whereas before, people would just push that shit down. You were told not to talk about it and blah, blah, blah. I think what's happened now is because the floodgates are opened. So everyone's talking about it now. And it's like, so we're now in uncharted waters. We're trying to figure it out. And how do you feel about all that now? Now we're opening up to it.
I think it's good. It's been like, I feel like I went mad before it was cool.
But this is it. Having watched your show in Edinburgh, and I must say, one of the best shows I've ever seen, which is why I don't know what happened. I just kept being around, and I was like, oh, it's that, I'm going to go again.
I loved it, mate. It was the best thing ever. There was like three, it was amazing. There's this one week, right, where, because there was a big, I was at the Pleasance, and in the Pleasance, there was a show called The Trial, and it was a sort of Victorian thing where, and basically two people came from The Trial on like one of the first or 2 days, and then they went back and they told the cast. So there was a constant influx of Victorians. So there was one week where every time I'd come out from the backstage and I'd see you, good, and then four Victorians, great. And I'd be like, great, I'm off. It's great. But no, yeah, in terms of your question, I think it's really good. It's, I mean, it's very good for me because I always think about this. I always think, oh God, imagine if I'd have written this show. I think, because the show's going well, I think, I wish I'd done this before. But I think, again, as I say, it's more timing. It's like, if I'd have done this 10 years ago, it would have been too much. People have been like, what? Why do I want to go and listen to this? Oh, it's fucking mad. But I think now we're all, you know, there's people dropping out of the Olympics because their brains aren't working properly. It's out there, and it just felt like, that's why I feel as much down to, I can't really say it's all me. It's down to like, the time is right for this. It's like when Oasis came out, like, not saying I'm like Oasis, but like, I always remember thinking when I was a kid, like, it's weird how, if Oasis had come out 10 years before, like, it's less, Oasis aren't the most talented musicians in terms of like, you know, there's people in like music colleges who are clinically better at music. They're not the best looking people, like, you know, perfect, but what they were perfect for that time.
Yeah.
They were just right. And for whatever reason, Wonderwall came out and they just summed it up. And there was basically an Oasis shaped hole in the world at that time. And they just fit into it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, that's why I feel relatively like the show could go well, because it feels like there's just a good fit for it in the world now. It feels relevant. And I'm just
definitely
grateful for that, I guess.
But how do you, when having watched the show, and like you were saying, I don't want to give too much away because people are definitely going to go and see it after this.
Wicked.
You're talking about, you know, like, you know, you were, you know, you, when you were a baby, you were fine.
Yeah.
And then as you got older, all of a sudden, I think, had you dealt with like mental health issues your entire life, or was it at a certain point?
There's always, I don't want to give too much in the show away, but the show is essentially about like how I became the way I became. And like, I guess it was like things that happen as a kid go on to shape. Like, we're all born and we're nothing. We're just like a nothing. And then we go for experiences that shape who we are. Like, if you might go and tell a joke, and if everyone at school laughs, you go, oh, I'm funny. If you tell a joke and no one laughs and you get bullied, oh, I'm not funny, never doing that again. You know, so all these things go into making you. And I went through some things as a kid, and I just maybe dealt with it in a not so great way in terms of like forcing feelings down or forcing emotions down. And it's all about how those came back to sort of bite me in the ass as I got older. And that's why now I just never shut up about this. I let it a constant stream. As soon as I feel anything, I'm like, I'm sad now, I'm happy now. I'm just. I think Tom Ward talked about it in a podcast. He said, I'm just a bit like a child. Like, I just feel like whatever I am, like, you will know. Do you know what I mean? I'm never feeling one thing, but on the outside, something else is coming out. I'm just like, whatever it is, that got me in so much trouble over the years that now it's just like, this is who I am. Whatever's going on for me, you're going to know about it.
I need to be a bit more like that. I've noticed in the last year or so, I realised I wasn't talking about how I was really feeling. I was kind of going along with things and not saying stuff. And then when I sort of snapped and went, I need to deal with this, it felt like it came out of nowhere. And people were like, what the fuck? I thought things were fine and this was that. And I'm like, now I've made it worse by not dealing with it when it was happening.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's always, I did that, like, that's what happened at, in the noughties when I got into real pickle. It was like, I think it's because my whole personality, I'm sure this is the same for a lot of comics. I wasn't a comic then, but like my whole personality was, woo, Rich, it's me, how you doing? You're right. And this, but that was a survival thing as well. You know, it's like, I didn't really feel a lot of love at home. I had a very bit of a complicated life situation with the various things. But so I felt like whenever I was out of the house, I was like, woo, great. It's like, oh, this is beautiful. So as long as everyone's laughing, also, is this a survival thing? I went to sort of a bit of a rough school as well. And like, everyone, all my mates are rough and like, they're into fighting, but I'm not a fight. I'm like, I just don't know. I'm like, so I thought, right, I'll be the funny one. It's like, great, don't beat me up and I'll be funny. Woo, so I'll just keep doing this. And then you do that loads and loads and that just becomes your default setting. Like now I don't have to try and be funny. I just like, it's just the way I'm wired. Like I'm scanning the room looking for funny things in a way that Elon Musk is probably scanning for problems because he's wired that way to fix things. Do you know what I mean? It's just the way you wire your brain. And I just feel like not talking just causes just so much more problems. Also, it's just so much easier if you know how everyone feels. Like, but you have to let everyone be also arrogant as well. If someone says, I think I'm amazing, you have to be like, great, that's good for me. I was chatting to someone the other day about this and they were saying like, you know, they're a comedian. I was chatting to Vittorio. And he was just saying how like, he gets a bit of stick for, he's been saying like, I'm amazing, you know, on his Twitter stuff. He said, I'm brilliant, I'm the best comic or whatever. And I think, do you know what? I've been in so much therapy over the years with so many traumatized people who've got low self-esteem that when I hear someone saying that, I'm like, great.
Yeah.
This is good. Like, the world would be better if we could all just say, do you know what? I feel fucking amazing. I think I'm fucking brilliant at this. It'd be like, good for you, mate. And I just say, the only thing is, when you have that, that's a great power to have, and you need to know how lucky you are to have that, but you have to use that to bring people up. You can't be like, I'm amazing. They're shit. You can't say that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel I'm amazing. Like, do you know what? If you think you're amazing, it's good for me. Fucking high five. Great.
Yeah.
It's a relief to hear that from me, because I've spent time around so many people who are just like, I don't want to be here. It's like,
No, I know what you mean. It's a funny one. It's like, I've been doing comedy 18 years. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned feeling like someone's going to, at any minute, going to turn up and go, right, off. Mm. We don't know how you got in here, mate.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I say, 18 years in, and I still get booked, and I've got to a point now, I go, do you know what? I am good at this. But it's not in a like, I'm fucking brilliant, you're fucking shit. Like you just said, but you've been doing it long enough to go, yeah, I'm good at this.
I'm good. And I'm happy with that. It's like owning how you really feel. So I find that that makes me feel, to hear someone say that I think I'm brilliant, makes me feel more relaxed than when I meet someone who's like, some people who, you know, who are like, oh, I'm not very good. But then behind people's backs, they're like, the snide, they're like looking down on people. You know what I mean? That fake humbleness. Like, look, if it's like, so in my show, I speak about so much stuff that I'm bad at. I'm bad at so many things that when I'm actually good at something, I don't want to then have to go around pretending I'm bad at that as well. I've got enough bad things. So it's like, do you know what I mean? It's not like I'm saying I'm amazing at everything. I'm saying I'm not so good at this. My brain doesn't work, but yeah, I'm good at this. And yeah, I just feel like, it's weird how, I just find it's fascinating. Like, just because the way I view brains, I just see us as like, once you realize you're not in control of your thoughts or your feelings and who you are, like the world tells you how to be. Like, it's weird how, say with fame, when people become egomaniacs, like, what's my point I'm trying to make here? Basically, what I find it easy to be compassionate to people is because, say if you are a person who has had, like, you meet someone and they've got low self-esteem, you know, they think they're worthless because they've been hanging around with a lot of, like, bad people, they've been in a toxic relationship. Like, you should want to help them back to, what we do is we go, hey, no, it's okay, you've been fed some bad information, let's help you back towards the centre where you should be. Well, we do that with compassion. But for some reason, when someone is famous and they've been fed loads of, like, positive information, they become an egomaniac, we should help them back with the same, but we go, you are. But it's just the same thing, it's just the brain being told how to be and going too far. So you need to have compassion for them as well and go, listen, you've been told a lot of amazing stuff and you might have gone a bit bonkers, but for some reason we hate those people, but we see those guys as victims, but we're all victims. Do you know what
I mean?
It's all the same thing.
Yeah, human beings are fucking weird and
idiots.
it really helped me when you said that in the show about that, like, your thoughts aren't, you're not your thoughts, they just happen. You're not in control of them, they just happen.
And then
it's how you react to the thoughts, isn't it?
And
that really helped me out. It was a real, like, light bulb moment when you said that. I was like, oh, fuck. And I always feel bad for some of the thoughts I have. I'm like, but then you have the thought and then you go, no, that, hang on a minute. Why are you thinking that? I know, I'm pissed off, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
and even wired to keep thinking that way. Like, you're wired to, like, why do I think that they're trying to hurt me? Like, maybe something happened when I was a kid and now my brain's wired to go, they're going to hurt. Because our brains are like bouncers. They're sort of looking out for us, right? But sometimes you get, you know, you've all seen those bouncers that are too carried away, like, too gung-ho, get back from him. It's like, listen, I know you're trying to look after me here, but just relax. We're not under threat anymore. You know, whatever happened a long time ago is not happening right now. And I think the reason I sort of view my brain as not controlling my thoughts is because, well, first of all, you just pay enough attention to your own brain, you'll see that they just keep coming. If you've ever tried to meditate and you just try and, even for 10 seconds, a thought will just come up and go, boop, you're like, hang on a minute. All I'm trying to do is just concentrate on this one word and it's still going, rich, like, oh my God, that's not me. And basically, when I realized I don't control them, like, because I always laugh at my own jokes a lot because, but that's because I don't control my thoughts. So when I think of a joke, I go, ha, where did that come from? That's great. It's not me. It's like, because sometimes you try and write a joke and one comes, sometimes it doesn't. So I can't say that it's all me, because if I could write genius jokes every day, I'd just have a constant stream of funny stuff. But that's not how brains work. Occasionally, your brain will go, there you go. And like, but that's the same with bad thoughts as well. Like, but that's the thing. Same with like the fame, the ego, and if people become an egomaniac or become depressed, like, you need to have compassion for all people. It's the only way to really get things to work. But same with my own brain. Like, if I have a good thought, or if I have a bad thought and it comes up and, like, you're a cunt, I'll be like, well, hang on, that isn't me. But you can't take credit for the good thoughts and not the bad. Like, you have to realize none of it's you. You have to go, okay, the good thoughts aren't me, but the bad thoughts aren't me. But that, which is good, because it stops you becoming an egomaniac, because it's like, I had a genius thought.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily, it wasn't me. I didn't use all my power. I just sort of like, huh. And then, but you can't take one without the other. That's the thing. You can't be like, the good thoughts are me, but the bad ones, they're nothing to do with me. Nah, you realize it's all just happening. It's crazy.
Yeah. I tell you, it genuinely is all down to what's happening around me at the time. Because sometimes I'll see people in the street and I have this thought and I go, fucking state of that. And then I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you thinking of that? Oh, hang on a minute. Yeah, your skin. Oh, that's what's pissed you off. Yeah, that. Something's happened.
Yes.
And now you're having that. Now you've had that. Now you're in your thoughts. You're taking it out on people. And you know,
yeah,
like, and
absolutely.
And you have to pull yourself back. Yeah, it's a funny old thing. Yeah.
You very rarely, I don't think, if someone said, like, Rich, by the way, you've just got your brand new TV show commissioned. They're going to give you $1 million. I don't think you then go, cool, wicked, and then look and go, fuck's he doing that for?
Yeah.
You're just like, oh!
Yeah.
Hey, look at that guy there. You know, nothing matters. You know what I mean? It's just, it's when you're angry and you're like, fucking hell. And you suddenly go, oh, what's he doing over there? It's just, you know what I mean? It's just annoying. And you can see people's faces as well. You can see people like, you can sort of see what's going on. And so many people walking down the street sometimes and like that. You can just almost see the pain sometimes when you're walking around. And I'm the same. I'm not saying I'm some guy who's just like immune to it. I'm a human being. Like, we all go through ups and downs, but yeah. I think some people are more prone to it than others.
But sometimes some of the thoughts are just ridiculous. Like, And I know it's because I'm pissed off. Like and it's always, I don't know why, it's always clothing that annoys me. Someone, because I like clothes, and I just, there is a snobbery and there is a little bit of arrogance attached to it, I think, where I go, I fucking know. I know. You don't know. I know.
What's he wearing that for?
That's it. And then they'll go, what the fuck are those? What are those shoes all about? What are you
wearing? Yeah. I think I'm relatively, don't we? We all have that. I think I'm relatively quite good with that. Because I know some mates are really bad at it. Like, and I don't realise, I think me and my friend Andy, we're both quite good at that. And I only realise that we're good at it when I hang around with some other people who are like, constantly going, what's she doing that for? Like, look at her over there. I'm like, who actually vocalises it? That's the next level, isn't it? When you vocalise it. Like, wow. I remember saying to, like, I remember my first girlfriend saying something. It's really, I remember just, I was out, we're in a nightclub somewhere, and I only just met her. I remember she was trying to form a connection with me. And we sat somewhere, and like, I think we're taking a load of pills. And she sort of pointed at someone and said, like, some girl who was like, maybe a bit bigger. And like, look at that. And I went, and I said, you're mean. And she went, oh my God, I am. Oh my God. I just think no one had ever said that to her. I think that's the thing. No one ever said, like, that's mean. And she went, oh my God. And she even said, I don't even know why I said that. I'm so sorry. It's just, that's the thing. It's just, then I think she'd never do that again. It's just that a lot of the time we don't call behavior out, and it just sort of carries on. And they're not being bad people. They're just like if I'd have gone like, yeah, I know, then she'd have kept doing that for the rest of her life. You know what I mean? If someone goes, don't do that, you go, oh yeah, sorry about that. It's not very nice.
No, but that shows a confidence on your part, because a lot of people will hear stuff like that but won't say anything, because you don't want to cause a fuss. So you kind of, you'll either go, yeah, or you'll change the subject, but you won't necessarily pull that person up on it. So that shows a huge growth on your part.
Don't do that. But like, you've got to think, you've got to do everything compassionately. If you go like, that's fucking out of order. That's more anger. Then you got to go, listen, don't do that, because like, people don't like it, and she might be feeling really sad. It's like, oh yeah, I never really thought about that, and it just, that hits you harder than just going, don't do that. It's the same with changing the world or like the way people think online. It's like, maybe it's a bit of a tricky subject to get into that, but I was gonna just, the world's changing very quickly at the moment, basically, and with various stuff, which I don't know if it's bad to get into this, but because I don't even know if I want to talk about things like this, but you know, there's things out there where the world's changing, it's getting very complicated, isn't it? And like the way, you know, systems are changing, like what a man and a woman is changing, all things, there's lots of discussions coming out, but like, I just want to say to people, like, it's like when I have compassion for people who are going through that experience of changing, but I also think you've got to also have a similar approach to the people who are going to question it, because at the end of the day, it's not your fault that you were told for 40 years that a man is a man, is a woman is a woman. No one chose to learn that. Do you know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
So it's like, you have to go, listen, you can't be like, you need to get with this new thing. It's like, but it's, they'll not be like, what do you mean? It's like, I was a good person before for like, I read all the books and they all told me this, and now you tell me another thing. It's like, there's going to be a bit of, it's like, I think the reason I think like this is because, basically, I've done a lot of therapy. I've been out of therapy for the last 20 years. And like, I know how hard it is to change patterns of behavior. Like, if you've been like in a bad relationship or a toxic environment, and you've learned ways of being and like certain patterns, then like, it takes years of hard work to drag your brain out and now view the world in a different way. So, and I just see this, and that's going to have to be applied to people who are now, we're telling them to just forget the way they knew the world was and change it. It's going to take years, and it's going to take time and gently. And like, you just can't expect human brains to switch like that. It's just not how we're wired, unfortunately.
No. We've had that discussion before, a similar discussion, talking about that. And it is compassion, empathy on both sides.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Like you say, it's all very well, because what everyone does, even if you, like the people that are talking about like trans issues and things like that, if you even question it, then a lot of people will just pile in and go, how dare you say that? How dare you say that? Yeah. They go, no, wait. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to figure it out.
I'm doing a bit of therapy on myself, basically.
Yeah. We are all, I say this in my set, like, we are all in our own way transitioning. Like with the, like you said, with the language, with everything, the knowledge now that we have, that they're, you know, the genders are expanding, and you know, when we were, especially me, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, there was just men, women, trans people were around, but they weren't. It was always just that, oh, they're just people that feel they're born in the wrong body, and that was it.
Yeah, That was it. Yeah.
And that was it.
Now leave it. Now leave it and carry on with your life.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, exactly. So now it's being changed. Like now that is actually a woman. It's gonna take time. It's gonna
yeah,
it's gonna be
absolutely. Yeah.
Complicated. And
but even yeah. that, even before we got into this, you were very careful. You were like, oh, I don't really know if I wanna. And that's the issue we get into, because you and I both know where we stand on the subject. Yeah. People that listen to us know where we stand. We're open to it all. We're like, yeah, we just want everyone to get along and understand each other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But we're so worried that we're going to get piled on and cancelled, because that's why one side won't listen to the other, because they're worried that they're going to get shouted at. Because it goes back to being a child, doesn't it? You're going to get shouted at for being
getting
told off.
Don't say that. Did you say a swear word or something? Like, did I swear?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I always remember that when I was, because you only know what you're told. I remember, in fact, that's maybe my first experience of that, when I realised I got cancelled. I don't know if you can say this, but I was about 5 and I was in, I was at school and at primary school, and a teacher went, Richard, and they went to sit in the class, like, who can name a food beginning with C? And I was like, oh, and I put my hand in the air, like, oh my God, oh my God. And she was like, Richard, and she went, Richard, what is it? I went, Chinky Chips. She went, out. And that, because obviously that, now that is a racist term,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
know that, because it was the early 80s.
That's what people said. Yeah.
And I was just saying what I'd learned. So I was like, and I started crying. I was like, what have I done? Because there's no malicious sort of fitness for me.
No.
It was just saying like, I was like, what does it even mean? I just thought it was a food. And I think there can be a lot of that in the world, where people are just like, that's just words I've used. I didn't even know what it means. Like, because there's loads of words I said I don't mean as well. I hope this isn't getting very controversial podcast. I'm not a controversial person.
No. Don't worry. And if you have full control as well. So if there's anything you say, you worry about it, we can take it out. Don't worry. But yeah, we're not here for controversy.
Okay.
Right, at the end of the day, we're here to help. Exactly. We want everybody to benefit from the conversation that we're having.
I like it. I remember there's this thing that happened, because I set up a website with my friend a while ago. It was basically to do with all this.
Mm.
Basically, I was in a psychiatric ward, and I basically, we both have our reasons for doing it, but in a psychiatric ward once, and there was, I'd been hospitalized, and they said, Rich, look, you're going to have to go into group therapy. And I was like, and I went and pointed to a room of people, and I was like, well, they look insane. You know, like, hair was torn out, they were burned. And they're like, Rich, look in the mirror. And I was like, okay, I'll go in for 5 minutes. So I look metal. So I went in there. Anyway, I was chatting to this woman who was about like, sort of like, she was about 50 stone, and she had sunglasses on, and she had a white stick, and she never spoke to anyone. And I remember thinking, well, at first I was like, well, she's insane.
Mm.
But it turned out she'd been sexually abused by her parents, her foster parents, and her next parents. So now
oh
she overate,
God.
So no one ever wanted to touch her. And the second I realized why she did what she did, I had this spiritual awakening where I was bursting into tears, and I just started shaking. And I realized, you're not insane. You're hyperlogical. Because I now know what you've been through, there's nothing weird about you. And I just hugged her, and I realized, oh my God, like, if we can just understand why people do what they do, it's very hard to sort of hate anyone or be scared of anyone, because, like, it's just, I don't know, it's when you understand people, that's the way I view the world now. I just think, because of all the crazy stuff I've done in my life to do with, like, self-harming myself, like, stuff I talk about in the show, very dark stuff. I've lost my right ever to look at anyone go, what the hell are they doing that for? I just go, wonder what's going on in their brain. Like, no matter how dark or evil people are doing, no matter how bad it gets, something in their brain is telling them that is the right thing to do. They're not choosing to be them. They are them because of their lives.
Yeah, you're right.
You'd be doing exactly what they do. The only reason you have your thoughts and your feelings is because of you. Like,
Everything's a reaction from what's gone before.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
Yeah, that, and everything on every level, the way you dress, the way you behave, the what you eat, why you eat what you eat, everything. You do what you do because it's a reaction of things that have happened.
Things that happen, and also things that are also in you as well. Like, you know, trauma can be passed through from, like, parents, stuff like, so all this stuff is just, like, you're just reacting to like, urges in your body. Like, I've had urges, I talk about something else, but, like, when I got very sick and unwell, I ended up like trying to kill myself. I was covered in blood, and I came around in a psychiatric ward, and because I've been self-harming and stuff. But I just feel very lucky, because, like, again, it's a similar argument to what I was saying earlier about the ego one, where that it's all just a brain doing what it does. Like, if I'd have had the uncontrollable urge to harm someone else, then I would have done that because I didn't. But I luckily had an uncontrollable urge to harm myself. But that's just pure luck that I wanted to harm myself. Yeah. If I'd have had a traumatic childhood that made me think, fucking guys are out to get me, these fucking guys are the fucking, and suddenly take me out, I'd have done that. I'd be in prison now. People are like talking about me. Who's, remember that evil guy, Rich? Oh, he died when he fucking just attacked that guy for no reason. Fuck knows what's going on in people's heads. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel very lucky, but because I did it to myself, I'm seen as a victim and I get helped. But if I had the same uncontrollable urge to kill someone else, I'd be in prison getting punished for it. And, and I'm not saying people shouldn't go to prison. I'm saying like, it's like you still, once they're in, they need to go, what's going on?
Yeah, and understanding. Yeah.
What's going on? And like, and I'm sure that maybe they did. Like once I became better and done a lot of work, maybe in 2 years, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? But like, unfortunately, if you're not in prison, it's like, what the hell was I thinking? Well, you're in it for life now, mate. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And it's like, no, guys, I've changed. Nope, sorry, that's not the way this system works. No. Oh, my God.
Do you know what was really interesting as well watching your show was when you talk about certain things that you did. I won't say what they were. Again, don't want to spoil the show. But you, it was, because I wanted to speak to you and say, like, when you had your first episode, did you feel that something was happening? Did it? Could you feel it building? But I think cause having watched your show, you were doing things and you were going, well, you weren't even questioning it because you go, well, this is just what everyone does. This is just normal.
with my brain. You mean like the manic episode or the downward sort of thing?
Just all of it. Just like when you were, I mean, the whole show builds like a manic episode is about to happen. Yeah. That was, I think I said to you that to you in Edinburgh. When you started explaining about it, and then the way it built, and the way it built, and the way it built, you felt you could feel it building.
Yeah, the energy in the room is like, whoa.
Yeah, whoa, here we fucking go.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about certain things that you did, like I say, that was just normal to you.
Yeah.
So you weren't aware that something was happening.
Yeah. It's patterns getting, you know, you learn little ways of coping. It's like with, like, in the same way that, like, you know, when I started being funny, like, you start being funny as a young kid and you get funnier and funnier and funnier. And then now, you know, now I'm doing it for a living. I just do it, like, without thinking. And there's bad ways of that as well. Like, I think, I won't give too much away about the show here, but I think as a kid, dealing with, like, abandonment issues, my dad was gone before I was born and my mum remarried a few times and I had to, you know, deal with just being very isolated and, you know. But I think the sadness that I felt, I just sort of like swallowed it down. Like, was like, fuck, leave me alone. Just fuck you. Do you know what I mean? Instead of acting out, I didn't want to upset anyone because I like being lovely to people because I was stuck. Because I like being lovely to people. Like, hey, I like that feedback of like, oh, you're great, Richard. I mean, but I didn't want to upset anyone. So I just internalized the anger and I started self-harming at a young age. So it all got pushed down. This all these feelings like, no, get down there. And then layer and layer and layer. And then on top, hiya. But then that thing that never got dealt with was in me from the whole time. So it would like flare up occasionally throughout my whole life. Like, people are like, oh, Richie's so lovely. But then if people get too close to me, like, he's a fucking psycho. Do you know what I mean? But it's only people who have got close to me be like, he's insane. And people are like, no, not Rich. Rich. It's like, honestly, but it's because I think there's a little tiny scared hurt boy at the core of my being. Ah, don't you fucking hurt me. And there's layers and layers and layers and layers. And then there's me at the top. And as you get close to someone, like in an intimate relationship, the layers get peeled back. And then the little boy's there like, don't you fucking hurt me! Don't you hurt me! And it's like, who is this maniac? It's like, sorry. And it's you don't choose it to come out. It's just like, it's just in you. It's who you are.
Yeah.
And that little scared boy has basically just been sort of running my life for the last, well, until I started getting into therapy, he's just running my life for 20 years. Just sort of like doing what I wanted to do. Fucking, whatever. Just like, fucking drugging. And it's like, whoa, it's okay. You have to make peace with him, basically, and just be like, it's okay, you don't. And like, sometimes he can be triggered, right? If I'm in a relationship or something, like, I remember one time, like, I got someone, like, I was in a relationship, and they sort of, it didn't end well, and they didn't want to grab me, and I was just, the little kid was like, I mean, it was fizzing with rage, but because I know that it's just it, I was like, I was feeling the anger, but I was laughing at the same time. I was going, God, I am so angry. it was crazy. It was like, I cannot believe I can be feeling this feeling, but be detached from it. You know, just feeling it buzzing from my body. I was like, whoa, God, I'm livid.
Yeah.
but sort of watching it happen, it was crazy.
But I know what you mean about the, because when I had therapy, and we had couples therapy as well, my last relationship, and she actually said something really interesting, and she said that I've got this little scared little boy, like you've just said, that means I'm really scared of being open and honest with people about how I'm really feeling, like I said earlier, which is why I end up, because I'm worried that I don't want to upset someone, I'm worried I'm going to get told off if I'm honest, so I'm not I'm not as honest as I should be.
You learn to shut that down.
Like, yeah, you shut it down. Yeah. You go, oh, no, if that little boy comes out and he goes, yeah, don't say that because she'll be really annoyed and then you'll look, and then she'll hate you. And then it ends up, they get annoyed and they hate you anyway because you weren't honest. You're like, oh, I can't win.
That's the thing. The truth will come out. It's going to come out. It will always come out.
Yeah.
That's the thing about brains. Human brains don't like, there's a study on it. It's really interesting, actually. Like, they don't, that's why we tell secrets, because if you try and keep a secret in your brain goes, wait, get it out. You're like, that's why it's so hard to keep one. It's like, there's a stress in the brain. And that's why you go, listen, I've got to tell you this. Oh, that relief you get after saying something. Because it's like, it's just how we're wired. And I think that, because that's what I was hoping with the show. Because when I realized that, I was thinking, with the show, I just wanted to create something that was so, because you've heard the saying, the truth will out. It's a saying, but it's normally equated to something bad. It's normally equated to something like, the truth is going to come out, so don't be naughty. But I was thinking, well, that doesn't necessarily have to just be for bad things. That can be for good things. So I thought, if I can create a show that just creates such an amazing feeling in people that they will have to tell people, because it'd be like a secret. They'll be like, oh, you got to see the show, because they don't want to keep it in. Because it's like a secret in their brain. Like, you've got to go. And that's what's been so good for me. Like, you've been telling people, like, everyone who's come have become quite evangelical about it, because I think it makes them feel something. And their brain is go on, tell them the thing. They're like, oh, my God, you've got to see the show. And it's, so anyway.
No, it's true. It's exactly what happened. I connected on so many levels with so much of it. Like, I haven't had a manic episode, but I always feel like I'm sitting on top of a pot and the lid's bubbling up. And I'm like, any minute now, this is going to fucking go. And when I was watching you, I was like, oh, this is, yes, I recognize this. I always feel like I'm sitting on something and it's,
bubbling away.
And it's good. And when you do finally talk to someone, like Kate, my partner, she's very much about, I'm getting used to the fact that she'd rather I was honest and say to her, this is how I'm feeling, than bottle it up and then it comes out later on. She's like, well, why didn't you tell me that? Like, she gets more annoyed. And and I'm glad, because we're at the beginning of our relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I can go, do you know what? This is why I don't, but I'm really trying hard to be honest about what I'm feeling.
So,
and it's a nice place.
It's good to do that. And also, it's a bet, mate. That is such a healthy way to start. Like, just check in and be like, this is how I'm feeling. Because no one can ever have a go at you for how you're feeling. It's how you feel. It's like, what can I do? It's like, look, I'm feeling angry at you or resentful of you. It's like, I'm not choosing to. I wish I didn't, because I'd be having a nice time. But for some reason, I'm feeling angry at you. And they might go, why? And you might say, why? And they might go, well, that's not even true. And you go, oh, really? Oh, it's in my head. Oh, great. And then you move on. It's just, they have to be understanding and compassionate with you. They can't be like, why are you thinking that? As long as they understand, like, I'm not choosing to think this or feel this, but for some reason I'm feeling very annoyed. And and then you talk about it, and it's always fixable.
Always
fixable. That's what I've learned. I feel repressing things is just, it's just never good, is it?
No, and the assumption as well is a lot. Kate and I had this massive conversation about assumption the other day. Like, she was assuming certain things, and then it was something happened the other day. We'd had an intimate moment, and then I assumed something afterwards because she'd pulled a face. Directly afterwards, she'd pulled like a troubled face, and I was like, oh no, I've done something here. What have I done? And I went off to a gig or whatever I did, and I messaged her and I went, are we all right? And she went, yeah. I went, oh, sister, we had that moment earlier, and then, like, you looked like you were really annoyed. And she went, no. She goes, I just had this thought of, like, oh, shit, I haven't got any money. And that was it. She goes, it just flashed across. It was just at a bad time. And I went,
oh my God. Well, just
so that's why it's so important to talk to each other.
Mate, think how many times that, like, because you have the wherewithal to understand that now and know that about yourself and be able to ask questions. But think how many people now, like, maybe when they're a kid, they were five, they went, mommy, look at this, and they went and did that face, and that shaped their whole personality. Like, my mom doesn't like me, and they took that into the world, and now they've become God. No, I mean, ridiculous. It's like, and if they could have just, the mum could have gone, they could have meet the chat the mum now and go, remember when you did that? And they could be like, I didn't do that. Like, didn't you? Hang on, that's what I base my whole worldview on.
That's why I've got issues with women, because that one time
you're telling me that's not what I think. I was just thinking about, like, going getting a shopping later. Oh my God.
That's why I find men problematic, because my dad just said once, can you go away, because he was just stressing about something.
And now set up the Proud Boys or whatever it's called. I'm only joking. I do not want to interrupt with it, by the way.
No.
Why have I said that? By the way, as I said, please, that's just a silly joke because I was trying to think something came to the top of my head about some sort of like, you know, very pro-male thing. I just thought it'd be a funny thing. But basically, look, whatever they're going through is what they're going through, and whatever we're going through is what we're going through. So like, it's all good.
It's the comedian in you, rich, mate. That's what that is. Exactly. That's all it is.
You're not allowed to have that nowadays, you know, because that's the thing. It's like, that's what's difficult as well. Like, sometimes the funny thing to say is not the truthful thing. It's not the real thing to say. It's just like, it's just funny. It's like, if someone said to me, like, oh, don't you know Rich Wilson? Like, the funny thing in an interview, it might be, I could either go, yeah, he's a lovely guy, or I could go, oh, awful man.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny, because it's just stupid. It's like, because they're expecting me to say that, and I say, oh, he's an awful man, but they know I'm joking. But, like, it's a funny thing to say, but it's not true, because I don't think that. But
it's just exaggeration for comedic effect. That's all it is.
Exactly. But, yeah, it's very complicated at the moment, isn't it? Fortunately for me, a lot of my... comedy is just aimed at, it's all about myself. I think that's one of the things I want to do in the show as well. With most of my stuff, I don't really talk about anyone else. I just talk about me and my brain. And it's all looking inward as opposed to looking outward.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing? What's he doing that? Why do people do it? It's just like, why do I do this? Why am I doing that? Why am I there? It's just that way I can't sort of cancel myself, can I? It's quite good. Yeah, it's just safer as well.
This is why
I'm very, very self-obsessed.
Well, I think people are more and more now becoming more... I think in order to look inside yourself, you have to be a bit more... Not self-obsessed, but you have to be a bit more aware of yourself.
Yeah,
you
know? Of course.
Yeah, and I think it's... And I think what people get from this podcast is that I'm very honest. I'm not in a serious relationship about how I'm feeling at the time. Yeah. But on here, I'll tell you about things I've done. I've been very honest about my behaviour in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think people can, and that's how people get into it. They go, oh yeah, I've done that. And it makes people feel better if you go, oh, listen, I did this, this and this. And they go, fuck yeah, I've done that.
Yes.
All right, now I don't feel so much of a, it was a shit thing to do, but I don't feel as shit. I realise it's all part of being a human being.
So part of being a human being, like, that's how you learn to not do, stuff by doing stuff a lot of the time. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, obviously, there is a limit to this. I'm not saying, like, you learn how to not murder by murdering someone to go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm saying, like, but generally, that's what we do. We go in and we go, like, say a joke, do that, like, ooh, that's a bit hard. And, like, and I think that's why with famous people, they can get into a bit of trouble sometimes. Because what we do is we go into a room and we go in there and we're sort of, like, say, you know, I'll say something, I'll gauge how you react, I'll gauge how you react, and like, I might say a joke, if it doesn't land well, I won't say that again. But like, when you're famous, I think that's why famous people become monsters. Someone basically puts gloves over you, and you can't feel anything. You're like, da-da-da-da-da, everything I'm doing is great. And then when the fame gets taken away, you go, ooh, what did I say? And everyone goes, ooh, you said this, you were being me. Like, was I? Told me. Oh my God, wait, Hank, because I've been on like film sets and stuff, and it's like, the way people are mollycoddled is insane. And
really?
So I was in a very small part, by the way, and my lines got cut. But I was in that Fantastic Beasts film with Johnny Depp.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah.
Watching him. By the way, that's not a name. That's just like, I'm not saying like, oh, I was doing it. I'm saying like, I was up there for 6 months and hanging around with him and stuff. And like, he, no matter what these people say, I'm not saying he's a bad person either. I'm just saying like, everyone just goes, ha, 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 ha. So you could say like, you could say not, because I'm a comedian. So I'm like, wasn't that very funny? Why is everyone laughing at that? Wasn't that good? But it's like, you just realize, wow, this whole thing is like, and we sometimes view people in the paper and think, God, his behavior is very, very odd. But when you're in there in the bubble, you think, oh, it's actually, he's perfectly well adjusted for where he is. Like Tom Cruise is probably perfectly sane for what's going on in his life. He'll wake up, he'll go, nice one, Tom, cool. He's like, there's nothing, he's not being met with any resistance. So it's, when we look at it from our perspective, we go, he's being a bit crazy, isn't he? Like if someone looked at me through there, they'd be like, oh, the mad shit I did is fucking mad. I mean, it's just it works, and my life works for me, and I'm a symptom of like where I live. And anyway, I forgot what my point was then.
No, I know what you mean. When you're in that, when people's behaviours, when it, like you just said, outside of that realm, they kind of, it looks odd to us. But when you're in that world,
because people are, go on, carry on.
No, that's it. So it's sycophancy, isn't it? It's all that.
Yeah. And we all have a similar version of that. Like our friends understand us, so they let stuff go occasionally. But if someone was to look into it, record it secretly and put it out, I think that's why the internet has been like good and bad. It's like we were meant to be in our little tribes and villages all getting on. It's all working nicely. But now all the tribes and villages could see the other tribes and villages going, what are they doing over there? Why are they doing that? Hang on, that's we consider that offensive. Like, well, in our tribe, that's what we do every day. Like, no, you've got to be like our tribe. Well, hang on, what's going on here?
It's really
And it's like, and I was chatting about this the other day to someone, like, it's as you were saying earlier, you're saying, like, you know, you have to own up to your own flaws and that you're good and you're also bad. But I think a lot of people, that's one thing about, good thing about therapy is, and breakdowns, they force you to confront all the bad stuff you're doing to yourself and all the bad ways of being, all the bad thoughts you have, and you realize how imperfect you are. And some people just don't have these breakdowns or go through these things and they're not really forced to. And I feel like in the world now, it's annoying because what happens is one at a time we sort of like see something on the paper and we go, he cheated on his wife, boo, boo. And there's loads of other stuff that's like, no one's ever looking at their own life. Like I was saying,
no.
I reckon in the future there should be like, to be able to read any newspaper or online publication, you should have to submit, or the future will probably know everything. It will know all your human history, everything you've ever done since you were born, and you'll have to click accept so it says it has all the information. And before you get to read an article on someone, it'll go, remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? Now read it and you'll go, he's all right. You know what I mean? We've all done something like that.
Yeah, that's where it's going.
Now we just have our blinkers on and we're like, oh, what an awful man. It's like, hang on, didn't you do that once? Yeah, but that was ages ago.
Yeah, but not like he did it.
He did it badly though. Yeah. I was only joking when I said that.
But when you're like, you were talking about when you've had your episodes and things like that, again in the show, and that's why I mentioned it earlier. And when you come down the other side, and it's that you have no recollection of what's gone on. You just kind of go,
yeah.
Does it feel like you've dreamt it?
It's almost like being drunk or high or, yeah, on psychedelics or something. Like, whatever you're feeling makes absolute sense in that moment. Like it's just like, it feels right. Have you ever taken psychedelics and stuff and you think, you really are feeling these feelings. And then later on you can be like, huh, wow, I was really gone there. It's just like coming out, waking up from a dream and being like, oh no, what have I done? Yeah, you did this. Oh no, did I? Really? Yeah. I've done what? It can be bad as well because, you know, relationships and stuff, you can be, I talk about this in the show, but it is a lot like taking psychedelics, having a manic experience, because it's just like all the similar feelings there, like the love, the connectivity, the sort of like, they say in the Bible, like to become like to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like a child. And it's like, but I think what they're saying there isn't like, they're not saying turn into a little baby like in Mortal Kombat and then you'll get to go to heaven. What they're saying is, if you can get your mind to the state of a child, you are in heaven. Do you know what I mean? It's like, everything's perfect. It's just that we've forgotten about it. Like, but when you're in that state, I'm like, look at this, human beings, like people. Like, if I'm straight, but you might do it, if you're gay, you do it something else. I'm like, look at this beautiful woman. And then you might get into a situation with a woman, and it's like, then you might come out of it and be like, who the hell is this? Do you know what I mean? And it looks like you might not know what you've done. And, but yeah, it puts the beauty back into things. And it really is a profoundly crazy, crazy experience. But one that I wouldn't not have want to have, because I've learned a lot of things about myself from having these episodes. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like so happy that whatever's happened has happened in my life, good or bad. Like, because you can't go away taking out the bad bits and go, oh, I'd like to have my life without the bad bits. It's like, those bad bits is what made you now. Like, you can't do that. It's all you. It's all, you realize this whole thing was perfect. Like, the good and the bad. Like, there's an amazing, and I always think about this when something bad happens. It's like a Zen poem or like a koan or whatever, but like, it's the tale of the Chinese farmer. It's like, there was once a farmer and he had a horse, and one day the horse ran away and all the villagers went, oh, that's terrible news. And he went, maybe. And then the next day the horse came back with five other horses, and all the villagers went, oh, that's great news. And he went, maybe. And then the next day his son fell off with one of the horses and broke his leg. And they all went, oh, that's terrible news. And he went, maybe. And the next day the army came to take his son away to war, but they couldn't because his leg was broken. And they went, that's great news. And he went, maybe. You just never know what the good or bad consequences are of bad or good stuff. Like, all that bad stuff happened to me, but now I've ended up where I am now doing this show about the bad stuff. So is it good or bad that happened? Like, I don't know. And it never feels good at the time. That's the thing about life. It's like, you just have to know that this is how it was meant to be. It's not, do you know what I mean? This is it. Like, even when it's bad, you have to be like, well, and that's what's the good thing about having breakdowns and having been through a lot of traumatic stuff, is that like, next time now when something bad happens, I go, well, this happened last time and now look where I am. So I'm just going to have to ride this out and see where this gets me.
Yeah.
It's the same with relationships. The first time you have a relationship or a girlfriend, and the first time I fell in love, oh my God, the worst pain for me. That is honestly, that is one of my worst pains. Like, I can deal with death over breakups. Because, like, the fact someone's died is like, well, that's a real shame, I'm really sad. But with someone, the fact someone's out there not being with me, what? Like, why? I can't believe this. So that was the most pain. And especially a person like with abandonment issues like me, like when it, from being a kid, like when I first had a first girlfriend, it was like, oh, I just didn't know what was going on. I'd never experienced love like this, and I never experienced that, to have that pain of abandonment. Anyway, what was my point again? I was going to say about, yeah, with relationships, like, the first time I went through a breakup, I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I'd gone insane. I thought, like, anyway. But you realise that's just part of going in and out of love, and it hurts. And, like, so the next relationship you go into, you think, right, I know what works for my brain in terms of a partner, so I won't be looking for that again.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, then it happens again. You get heartbroken again. You go, oh, now I've known. And each time you go for one of these painful things, you slowly, slowly get in towards the right person. And surely, by the end of it, that's the person you end up being spending your life with, if that's how it works out. But it's the same with bad episodes. Like, something bad happens, you think, right, I know what triggered me last time, I'm going to try and avoid that. Oh, it's happened again, I've realized that's a new trigger, I need to avoid that. Because you can't plan for everything.
No.
As long as you learn from each one and go back forward thinking, okay, let's try to not take heroin. Let's try to not, or whatever the thing is that did that, or to not get into these environments which might stimulate bad parts of you.
I mean, heroin, that's quite a leap to, I mean, I've taken some stuff, but
I'm actually not a heroin addict. I'm not a heroin addict. I know it's on the show. Like, I am just someone who, at some point in my life, when things have become too unbearable, I'm just a human being who will do anything I can to cope. I'm a heroin addict in the same way that if I go into hospital for an operation, I'm a morphine addict. I'm not. It's just that operation, I'm in a lot of pain, and I need to stop the pain, and therefore I need some morphine. But as soon as I'm out of the hospital, I'm better. I'm not craving morphine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Addict. And it's the same when I've used heroin before. I don't think anyone should use it, obviously.
No.
Terrible thing. But, like, the fact that I've been points in my life where I've been so stuck and isolated and scared that had I not have used heroin, I was thinking of killing myself. I thought, if I can just feel some joy, I'm going to get myself through this. And I'm glad it might not be the right way to cope, and there's better ways of coping. But at that point in my life, it's the only thing I could use. So I just did that. But now that I'm happy and all is going well, I'm not an addict, so I'm not thinking, oh, everything's going great, I need to celebrate with some heroin. Because that's what addicts are.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. Some people are like, and my little brother is a heroin addict, and he's like, you know, he has to, every day is a constant battle for him to not do heroin. But for me, it's not. I'm just a person who's addicted to feeling happy and content. I just want to feel good, and I want to feel good about myself, I want to feel loved. And, like, when I don't feel that, or I have done in the past, I need to feel that by any means necessary. Now I've got stand-up, it's all great. I feel connected, I feel joyful, like, I've got purpose, it's all good. But when that goes, that's the sort of thing that can really fuel someone's heroin addiction or whatever. I have people contacting me sometimes, saying things like, Rich, I'm really struggling at the moment. What helped you to get out of this? Because I spent a couple of years trapped in the house before COVID, and that's what fueled me to write this show about it. When I came out, the comedian Tom Ward, such a lovely lad, he'd come and see me when I was trapped in the house, and he said, look, Rich, you've got the maddest life, you're one of the funniest people I know, you've got to do stand-up. I was like, right,
yeah,
okay. And I became obsessed with the show, and people said to me, like, you know, what helped you to get better? Because I'm in a similar position to you were then. I'm like, honestly, I can tell you what helped me, it's not an easy thing to find, because what's helped me is having this show, having a purpose, something that, like, is driving me every day. And unfortunately, you don't get to choose what that thing is. It finds you. Do you know what I mean? It's not something you can go, oh, well, I'll just be really into motorbiking. If you're not into motorbiking, you're not going to be into it. You need to find what that thing is that gets you up every day, that you love more than yourself almost. Like, I need to serve this thing. I need to just keep doing something because it's just making me feel so good. And it's like you find your life's purpose. But that's really helped me. But again, that's a really difficult thing to find. I think a lot of people, when they come off drugs and they feel very low, who am I? What am I doing? And they just don't find that thing. That's why they keep resorting back to drugs, because it's a safe way of feeling that.
Yeah.
If you can find that thing, some people find it in a child, but then some people have a child and it doesn't work for them. Everyone is different, you know? Everyone, like, some people have a child and it breaks them. Some people have a child and it changes their life. Like, this is all I care about now. And I just think, to have something greater than yourself is great for, it's also great for a depression as well. It's really like, if you can just find something that you're, because sometimes I'll have days when I'll start to go low a bit, but my brain is like, that thing that's pulling me from this show now, knowing the feeling that it's doing for people, knowing what I'm getting from it, it's like, now we can't, we've got to keep going. It's like, so I'll struggle through it more. Whereas if there's nothing to work through, imagine if you're at a job you don't hate and you're feeling depressed. It's like, so I've got to try and struggle through this depression to go to a job that's making me feel more depressed. It's like, doesn't make any sense. It's like, anyway.
No, exactly that. It's exactly that. And it's funny, having seen the show, having seen the show three times, and having seen the reaction from three different sets of audiences, That show is, it's making a difference. It really is. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. When I, one of them I came out, I had tears in my eyes. And then there was a woman that had been sat in front of me and she was in floods, but not floods of, there wasn't sadness. It was just that we'd had like an awakening and she was just in bits. And I was like, it's mad, isn't it? And she went, yeah. And we were all coming out, and Kate Martin as well. She went to see it. She came out in tears. Everyone came out in, but it was such a mixture of emotions. So the show, I'm glad that you've got to a point where you can put it all into this show and it's helping you. But let me tell you for a fact, it's definitely helping others, mate. So
that's the best thing, because obviously you do it in a selfish way. The fact that like it's helping people is like, it's just, it's so amazing. It's like, it's crazy. It's just, you know, they say, don't they, to tap into your truth, or they obviously hear these things and memes, so like tap into your truth, tap into your purpose, talk about what you care about. And I've just, you know, it's like I've tried different ways, writing different TV shows and stuff, and it's like, you know what, I'm just going to talk about me in the way that I know and try and explain it all. And it's just, and it's, I've never had anything land as hard as this in my life. It's just, and I think it's because it's just the truth. And I think, you know, it's when people, it's a very real human experience. I'm not doing jokes. I know people, it might not be clinically the best, like he's a gag merchant. He's like the most, like he's the perp, but it's like, it's just real. And I realized that when I used to look at Oasis, like they weren't the best musicians. They weren't the most talented, but what they were fucking real. They just were who they were. And that just made people buzz. And I thought, if I can just do that, I'm not gonna have a problem. It's like, I think, yeah, it's really, to see people's reactions. It's, a lot of people tell me this as well, which is quite interesting, is like they come out, they'll be like, I'm crying, they're saying, I'm not sad, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just crying. It's like
it just gets you. Honestly, the first time I saw it, I came out and I thought I was all right, and then I think when you came over to have a chat, we met you out in the courtyard, and it just, I just felt it coming up, and I was like, oh my god, I'm feeling,
I'm gonna go now.
I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna go.
It's weird. It's gonna be like PTSD in the future, like it hits you like a week later, like, whoa, god, I'm off.
That's just, so funny. It's gonna get to a point, it's like oh yeah, so are you friends with Rich Hardesty? Yeah, no, I can't go near him. Every time I see him, I just pull my eyes out.
Can't deal with it. Or I won't ball then, but I'll go to work the next day, I'll start balling at work. It's like, for God's sakes.
He's undone it now, it's all out in the open.
I'll tell you what, this isn't exclusive, I guess. Let me see if he's got back to me. Basically, I did the show on the last night. I'm not sure if I told you this, but basically there was a guy crying at the end. I was clearing my stuff away, and I gave him a hug, and he said, "Oh, cheers, mate." Anyway, he left. And anyway, 2 days later, I got a message on Twitter saying, "Hey, mate, it's Jimmy, that the guy who you hugged the other day." I went off. He said, "Mate, thank you so much for that show." He said, "I never felt anything like that in my life," and like it just cut through me. And he said, "I've had issues with eating, and I've had issues with addiction." And he said, "Look, I'll be honest with you. I do very well financially now, and I do, you know, I've got my own business." And he said, "Look, I want to pay for you to go on tour. You don't owe me a penny. This is all going to you." So he's sending me on tour. He said, "This needs to keep going." He said, "I want everyone to feel what I just felt there." So he said, "You just need to tell me what I need to do." So I'm going on tour with it.
Yes, mate.
That's good. So I was like, that's what that feels so good about the show. It's like a people-powered show. He's like, he's not trying to exploit me. He's just like, look, that just needs to, people need to feel that. Like that's the best thing anyone could say about this show. He's just a lovely guy who like, just wants to see me do well. And wants to see other people feel this thing. And it's like, he thinks it can really make a difference. So I'm like, that's amazing.
I've been telling everybody, and that's why I'm so glad we got to have this chat, Rich. It's been absolutely first class to have you on.
So good.
When is the show? Because it's Soho Theatre, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm at Soho Theatre. First one sold out, quite excited.
Well done.
And there's last few for the next two. So it's but it's on the 29th of September, the 30th of September, and then the 1st of October. But if it sells out, hopefully there'll have some more dates. But yeah, get in there if you can. That'd be amazing.
Mate, and where can we find? Are you online? Are you on the social media or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at rich_hardesty on Instagram, and I'm on Richard Hardesty at Twitter. But I don't really use Twitter very much because it just seems a bit
stressful. It's stressful.
Like pictures, that'll do me. Just post little pictures on there. Yeah, there we go. Simple.
Rich, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much, mate. It's been a real joy. Thank you.
I was getting excited about these things, but that was really, really, I really enjoyed that.
Well, it was funny because now I've seen you at the shows a couple of times and we've had a chat and then the messages as well. And I said to producer Paul yesterday, I was like, can we send Rich the link sooner rather than later and then you can get your head ready?
Because normally
it might have gone out just before and then you would have had no time to prepare. So it's been nice to kind of like, oh yeah, he's going to need a bit of time. Yeah, just ease into it. Yeah, love it. Thanks, Rich. Cheers, mate.
Mate, see you guys. Bye.
Insane in the membrane.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.